So if you're Gina, you could easily, if you have this like personal productivity planning company, I would say, hey, I'm Gina. I'm the founder of X company. I help women get more me time, bitches. Like, simple. Boom. You don't need to say bitches.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Hey, Warners, welcome to another episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About.
The podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, sales trainer and founder of Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv Company. That is back open in Myrtle Beach. Woo woo.
Hey, sweet. Anything else? I know you have a long list of credentials now.
You know, I was going to leave it simple today.
Gotcha.
Join in sales, Gravy University. I'm joining another company, ISBI. I'm going to be doing sales training for sports and entertainment. There's just all kinds of crazy stuff going on. It's all good.
There you go. And I'm Rachel Pitts, mommy, wifey. I'm mortgage loan officer with US Mortgage and creator of the Ultra Fit Lifestyle.
Between
you guys, so much fun. Now your creds are longer than mine.
Wait like, a second. You know, I was thinking of like between the two of us, you would think we were like 10 people.
I know. I'm trying hard to be one person, but you know.
That's no fun.
One day I will be like we talk about a little bit at the end of this podcast is, you know, it's all about becoming yourself and narrowing down your niche so that you can really find what it is that you have that edge about and what really finds those perfect ideal clients. And sometimes it takes a while.
And it doesn't even have to be clients. It could just be like figuring out what your edge is in life.
True that.
So it's exciting to have Ash Amberger back on our show. You know, we had her on back in February of 2020 and we loved her so much. We brought her back and she has been one of my role models for several years and her energy is off the hook. If you don't know who she is, she's the author of The Middle Finger Project, Trash Your Imposter Syndrome and Live the Unfuckwithable Life You Deserve. She's also the founder of the award-winning company by the same name that helps small businesses sell their ideas in big, fun ways. And she interviewed with us from Costa Rica. And we managed to capture the only technical problems were on our side in America.
Yeah, sadly, she's been trapped in Costa Rica for months due to COVID. I just, you know, horrible. No, Costa Rica is amazing. I'm super jealous. But she's so much fun. And what's so interesting about her, and I highly recommend grabbing her book, that she has that kind of like us, Women Your Mother Warned You About. Some people go like, what's that? What's the Middle Finger Project? Is it, you know, is that going to be naughty? And yes, it is. And there's tons and tons of really great content that can alter your life. So, you know. So much fun.
So much fun. It's kind of like doing a rogue show. I think that our Warners are going to love it. So sit back and enjoy this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About with Ash Amberger.
Well, welcome back to the Women Your Mother Warned You About.
Dude, I still think this is my favorite podcast name of all the podcasts.
You think or you know?
Oh, I know. It's okay. The best. It's just like you have this automatic smile as soon as you hear it. And I don't even care what you guys wanted to talk about today. I'm like, yep, I'm going back on. Totally.
That's what we were talking about. We're like, who do we want to bring back? Let's bring back some really cool chicks.
And I love you.
Here you are.
Thank you. We did. We had a pumping good time last time. I remember. It was good.
And you know, it's so interesting that yeah, we had you on. You were launching your book, and then now you couldn't launch it. So let's talk about that for a second, because what do you do in that situation? So you're down in Costa Rica. You kind of, you know, stuck down there. What are you going to do about, are you going to do a new book launch? Like, what are you going to do?
What does one do? Well, you know what? I think we're just going to do what I'm best at, which is the internet. I'm just going to keep having fun on the internet. I think that's fine. Book tours are nice for your ego and they're really glam and cute, but honestly, that shit comes out of my pocket anyway. So, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'll just do it the smarter way online. It's good. I mean, we're still doing good. We're still selling books, but it's just a little bit harder to really, you know, get everyone excited and go to the bookstores and do all that fun stuff that I've been waiting for since I was like 13 fucking years old.
Yeah. But you know, the beauty of what's happening in the world right now is that the internet exists and that you still do have the opportunity to use social media and use your, you know, internet marketing vehicles to still push your book out there. Thank goodness. Because, I mean, you'd be like dead in the water if the internet didn't exist and we wouldn't have all these fun Zoom calls.
Totally. Originally, I wanted to do this really fun prank where I was imagining getting some kind of like tour vehicle and driving around the nation. And instead of going to do big city tours, I wanted to go to the most like bum fuck little small towns across America and be the woman their mother warned them about everywhere they went, like putting the Middle Finger Project book like in pews at churches and just like doing scandalous things and then taping it all and doing this whole thing, encouraging these small town girls to just think a little bit outside the box. And I thought that would have been a really fun publicity stunt overall. So we can't do that, but I'm still thinking about maybe starting some kind of a confident school for small town girls online and doing something similar like that. I think that would be fun.
You could still mail them copies of the book and they could put it in the church pew.
Just get the address of all the churches in America, please.
Or just somehow find these small town girls. Like immediately when you started talking about that, I was thinking like Footloose came to mind, where you're not allowed to dance. Incidentally, let me tell you girls about this great story about not dancing and religious Karens, right? Because I was reading your article about Karens, Ash. So I was eating breakfast with my husband over the weekend, and we're sitting in there, and freaking Beat It comes on. Michael Jackson, Beat It. I mean, you know. And I have done the Michael Jackson Beat It dance that if you go watch the video, the chorus, like I've done that about a million trillion times. So I was like, oh, I can't not get up and do the dance. So I stand up. I start doing the Beat It chorus, which is not a provocative dance, first of all. It's a classic 80s dance. And Karen, sitting at the table next to us with her four ugly, bitchy Karen friends. Actually, they weren't ugly. They were ugly on the inside, though. Bitchy Karen friends. She says out loud to me, oh, my God, how much are you paying her to do that dance? This is a family establishment. And I turned around and looked at her and I said, it's Michael Jackson Beat It, Karen. Like, God forbid any of us have any fucking fun in life. I was so furious. And then I just sat down, I was furious. Like, I wanted to go. I just wanted to like sweep my arm across their table. And then when we left, her other Karen friend, the one woman wouldn't look at me anymore. And the other woman was like, keep on dancing, as we left. And I turned around and looked at her with a look that could melt an iceberg. I was like, fuck you.
Keep on dancing? Is that what she said to you for real?
Keep on dancing, honey. And I was like, you can rot in your cold, dark cave that you came from. I was so mad.
Oh, I tell you what. I mean, I come from this really small podunk town. So when some of the people heard that I was writing the Middle Finger Project book, I got some comments for sure about it.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because if you actually read the content of the book, it's pretty wholesome overall. Like, it's a really wholesome message about, you know, like becoming self-employed and doing whatever you want. But still, people have a hard time getting over the stigma of, God forbid, a swear word. Or in your case, Michael Jackson.
God forbid you get up in the middle of a restaurant and do something joyous that everyone's afraid to do. And I did also say, I also have about 40 years of professional dance training in ballet. So
Beat It.
I mean, I was like, you just insulted my husband by insinuating that I'm a stripper doing Beat It. Like, I just was so furious.
Did we talk last time about the young girls that had approached me once and told me that they were concerned that they thought that the devil was inside me?
Stop.
Do tell. Do tell.
That definitely happened when I had first started the Middle Finger Project, and I was actually just finishing up my graduate work. And these two young ladies who were really nice, we worked together for 2 years, but they were quite religious, and they had gotten wind of the Middle Finger Project coming out. I think they had seen a couple of the things I had written. They didn't find it very wholesome. And so they asked me if they could have a meeting with me after class one night. And it was an intervention, a proper intervention, where they wanted to protect me because they really believed the devil was inside of me and that they needed to help get him out. And you can imagine my reaction.
What methods? By what methods?
Well, we didn't get that far. But I'll never forget it because I thought, gosh, you know, this was coming from, granted, a person who had not kissed her husband until their wedding day, until they actually got married. So we were very different people looking at something called the Middle Finger Project from very different perspectives.
Right. Which is okay.
That was diplomatic of me, wasn't it?
That is very diplomatic of you. And, you know, I always try to, and I had a political argument with my 12-year-old. She's about to be 12. She's 11. Political argument with my child recently, basically. And I want to express to her that it's okay for everybody to have their opinion. I want her to understand that you're allowed to have a very strong opinion. That's cool. You can not like my opinion. However, it's not fair for you to tell me that my opinion is not valid. Like, I am allowed to have my opinion. You know
I
what I mean?
That. Because that's really, America. Yeah, that's a good mom thing. God forbid if I become a mom, I'm not going to even know. I'd be like, oh my God, that's the girl whose mother wrote the Middle Finger Project. Should we call social services?
Hey, sorry. I had to, a bunch of people just walked to my house and I had to say, I'm on a podcast.
Well, I hope they brought booze.
They... I don't know. I just slammed the door and yelled it out the door.
Speaking of, can you guys hear me? Because I'm having all kinds of technical problems. Welcome to our COVID world. Yeah, I had to switch microphones.
You're good now.
And go to my headset. So this is our COVID world.
Luckily, Doug is here. Doug can read all that shit that just happened.
Or keep it, because it's real. Our shit's real.
I went to Doug's website today for the first time, and I was so impressed. I really thought that what he's doing is just the bee's knees. I love the name. I love pot. I love all of it. It's great.
He is amazeballs. He really is.
If I ever start a podcast, you're going to be harassed, my friend.
Why do you not have a podcast?
Because I'm always in Costa Rica and the bandwidth here is awful.
You already have a great name too. You could just call it the Middle Finger Project Podcast. Like, boom, done. You don't even, Gina and I sat around for minutes on minutes come up with the name.
I do have a name. I wonder if I would translate it. Probably not. Although I will say, oh my God, you guys, you need to know this up front. You are now officially friends with someone who has ties to Russia.
What?
I'm real sorry, but the Russians just bought the rights to my book the other day.
Oh no.
Do you get free vodka now?
I think that should have been the deal, frankly. That should have been the deal. Instead, it was some measly amount from Russia, but I can't wait to see that translation.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, so sorry about that.
That's
sorry.
Really cool.
Russia ties. It's pretty quiet here today. For a couple of years, we had construction going on nonstop outside, as is, you know, when you live in a place that's developing, there seems to be always construction somewhere. And so anytime I would start to give any kind of an online workshop or an online class, of course, that was either when someone started up a chainsaw or a massive thunderstorm would occur, or the power would just be like, nope. Bye. And then, so I kind of just gave up hope, but honestly, you guys do such a good job here. I love it. You're my inspiration.
Aww.
Sweet. Then I won't quit again. Cause I almost quit recently.
Is that?
Oh, what my partner does to me.
Is that something I saw about you guys feuding? Yes, was that
crazy.
The episode about that?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's actually an interesting episode that goes into that whole scene and kind of some other current events that we've all been living through. And frankly, since then, I've had even more stress and like practical nervous breakdowns. So like, it's just a crazy world we're living in. And, you know, you never know when you're going to be trapped in Costa Rica for months on end. Like, it's just...
You know what would have been really good, Rachel, is if like we were trapped in Costa Rica together when we had that meltdown. We could have just like duked it out.
We could have had like a mud wrestling.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I do have some lighting equipment here, so we could have got it all on video. It would have been great. Invite some monkeys.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
So you're... what else is going on with you during this? Like, how's your business going and how have you pivoted through all of this insanity?
Gina, I don't mean to sound like the most arrogant person on the planet.
Do it.
Man, brag it out,
girl.
I think that what has happened here is people who have been hearing my message for a decade about, hey, create something, make something of your own, make your own piece of intellectual property, get online, learn how to do business in a more creative fashion. It, you know, affords you all of these benefits. You can travel, you can do all of these things, you know. All of those people are now suddenly like, oh shit, I should have pulled the trigger when Ash said. So I've got this kind of influx right now of people coming to me and begging me for help. That's, so I haven't felt a shortage of business. In fact, it's kind of been the opposite.
That's what I was wondering. I was wondering if you were impacted in that way, because anybody who's been set up to run their businesses this way have not felt the pain. Like, we've had Jeb Blunt on our show a few times, and they, you know, he was able to just kind of naturally move everything over to virtual because they had already been doing that and they actually started doing more business.
Yeah. I mean, I love rock bottom for people. I think it's one of the best things that can ever happen to you in business in a weird way, because you finally are just forced to do the damn thing. And I think this is causing a lot of rock bottom moments for a lot of people right now. And I hate to say that because I know it's also very difficult, but man, think of all the good that's going to come out of it right now. You know, the other thing we've been doing since I'm here in Central America without a whole lot to do, like I would have to get on a plane to go to a mall if I tried. you know, we've been creating. I've got two other side hustle brands that I'm just totally creating entirely online and making them run on autopilot without even my assistance. So I'm having fun. I'm trying to make use of my time and making some stuff while I'm at it.
What are those side hustles?
Well, the first one I've been working on for a while, and it is actually Costa Rica related. It's for Costa Rica tourists coming here. It's adorable and it's content driven, because if you look for any kind of tourist advice to Costa Rica, it's literally every single website was made by some guy named like Chris in 1978, and it's all, we have this like flash going on. It's terrible. I couldn't help myself.
So
I
true.
Had to do it.
A guy named Chris.
He's definitely named Chris, and he definitely, yes, he was trained at some point in the 90s, let's say. So I did that, and that's really fun. So that's all automated, and we have some products that are really just info products that I'm writing guides. I'm having fun doing it, and I'm setting them all up to autopilot sell themselves.
I need you.
Nice. Yeah, like I've been down to Playa Grande a couple of times, and that whole scene it's all word of mouth. Like, it's all, every bit of information that I got about going there was from people locally that had been. And they're like, oh yeah, just go over here and you just take this boat over here and go to do this. And you're so right, Ash. There's no information. It's like,
there's not. And I, you know, I get asked a lot over and over and over again. It's the same questions that I'm always answering. So I was like, you know, this will be fun. So the very first top of the funnel is just the quiz. Which Costa Rican beach are you? Let's start with the basics, because that's always what people want to know, right? Which beach should I go to? Should I go to the Caribbean or the Pacific, the North Pacific, the Central Pacific? What if I want to see monkeys? What if I just want to lay on a beach? Can my grandma zip line? Like, all this stuff. we're having so much fun with it. I'm having a blast. And the design is cool. The brand is amazing. And yeah, this is the kind of stuff that I I do in my time.
You know, Ash, you hit on a really, really good point that our listeners might be able to latch on to, which is if you're thinking about starting some kind of online business or product, then use what Ash just said. I get asked the same questions all the time. So right there is an area of expertise that if it's the same questions all the time, then why not monetize those answers for people that if they're always asking them?
10,000%. Yeah, I think a lot of people don't see online business yet as a viable option, though. I think a lot of people are still stuck with this stigma that online business is icky and markety. What do you guys think?
Well, I'll tell you, I was forced into pushing everything online because of the pandemic. I had to push all of our improv training and classes online. And now I'd been dragging my feet for a while just because it's hard. But now I'm like, I love that I don't have to go anywhere. I can have customers all over the world to do classes.
Hell yeah. I think that's awesome. I totally link me up later. I'll take it. Take your improv class.
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh, she'd be so fun in there.
That would be a blast.
Put her in there with Meredith and friggin' Donnie. Oh,
that would be a superstar. Oh my God. I don't know.
You should just have an improv show with Ash, Donnie, and
oh my God, that
be funny as shit.
That would be, I mean, that's kind of been cool because I've been able to have so many different people take classes now from different parts of the country that I never even wrapped my head around that concept before. And that becomes the trickle down effect of that, right? Because they're talking about it in those cities and promoting it within their circles. And that is just extending itself to bring us more business.
Yes. I think a lot of people also are under the impression that they have to already have a solid business in place, like some kind of massive business empire first before they can quote unquote add on something like an online course, for example. But I think what they don't realize is if you do it the right way, you can actually just make something like an online course the business itself. I mean, that is a piece of intellectual property that you own. It's an asset.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm for scale, baby, scale. Use that technology.
My gosh, I mean, it's definitely a lot of work, and it feels a little bit like a startup because it's different. The model's different, and the marketing is different, and so it's just like getting your sea legs on to get it done. It's good. It's good. You have to just be willing to jump and do it and then try to find the right people to help you with it and not try to, I think that's what happens to people. The overwhelm of the unknown of like, how do I do this? Well, go fucking find someone who can do it.
Yeah. I love that motto. I try to encourage students as much as possible to just start with the smallest, almost like dumbest thing they can imagine and just give a tiny baby little online workshop that's live. Just start there. Tell people straight up, hey, this is a beta thing I'm doing. And guess what? It's going to be cheaper for you because I don't have all my ducks in a row yet, but I will. Want your feedback. Can't wait to do it with you. It'll be awesome. And then just, you know, keep iterating from there. It allows you to make that cash flow that you need to make while going through this process of figuring out, okay, this piece of content stays, this piece of content goes, this is what we have to plan to actually video for the long haul for like an evergreen version of this.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening for me. Like every class is different. Even though it's like improv level one, every time I teach a new one, it's different. And like my marketing person's in each class, she's like, you change it every time. And I'm like, yeah, I'm still figuring it out. Nobody else knows that.
Yeah, it's a great thing. It's wonderful.
I build it as I go. And I think probably the best advice I can give to anyone trying to do that, build an online course, know that if you were doing it in a brick and mortar fashion in person, know that it does not all have to transfer verbatim from that original format. And you're going to have to figure out what is going to work virtually versus what's going to work in person, and be okay to change that. And I think that's where I got stuck in the beginning is, here's the curriculum. This is how we've always done it. Well, we can't do it that way anymore online. We have to be able to change it. And sometimes the changes are actually better. Like, oh, I'm so much happier doing this online instead of doing this in person.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, it's a different dynamic. I think it's way more emotionally taxing doing things in person, actually, than I find that it is online. So there are a lot of benefits people don't even realize that they get from this format. But also, did you guys see when Airbnb released their Airbnb like virtual experiences?
No.
What?
Huh.
What?
What?
Do tell.
Bring
Educate
it.
Us.
Tell
get out of here.
It. They're so
get
innovative.
Out of here. Are you serious?
So are they VR experiences, or you just get on Zoom and like pretend you're there?
No, they're a fucking Zoom call. That's all it is. However, they've introduced, I mean, they started off by having different quote unquote experiences in person. If you go to a city, you could also, you know, if you're in Italy, then you can go to Nani's house and learn how to hand make pasta or whatever. And then they translated that right before the pandemic. They started translating that into some online experiences. And then, of course, the pandemic increased the urgency of that. So then they went full blown. And I was just dying laughing because everyone all over this platform, all the people participating are like, mind blown that you can do stuff over Zoom and wow, like this virtual experience. I'm like, bitches, I've been doing this for 10 years. Catch up, world. Like, catch up. But everyone's loving it. So it's just amazing that most people don't even register our online stuff is like an option.
Huh. So I can like go to Santorini via Zoom and like pretend like I'm there.
Yes. In fact, for my birthday in June, Carlos got some of my best girlfriends from around the world. I had some friends in Chile, some friends in the States, and some friends in Europe. And we all gathered on for one of their experiences with this wine architect, he called himself, in Italy. And he had us prepare to come with certain ingredients and wine, obviously. And then we were mixing different wines, like a sort of historical sangria. And he showed us how to do three different ones. And we were all on video. And he was there in Italy. It was a fucking blast.
That's cool. Yeah, I have no idea. I'd never heard of this. It's brilliant.
He probably made, I think it was something like $300 for that private little session. So, yeah.
That, my brain just went TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You guys have to do one for sure. Everyone there is like, wow, this is great. I'm like, yes, the internet. Look at all this money being made.
Wow. Hey, I want to circle back to something you said a little bit earlier about rock bottom, Ash, because I know that you talk about sort of your rock bottom experience in your book. And, you know, the worst thing that can happen for somebody who wants to create a new business or create something is for things to be fine and things to be pretty okay. Because if things are like pretty okay, then you may not necessarily have that motivation to do something. But when you hit rock bottom, you're like, fuck it, I might as well do this because I don't have another choice. So you want to just tell us a little bit about your experience and how you got started in your business when you kind of hit the
floor. I mean, I think the best part of hitting rock bottom is that it leaves no room for perfectionism anymore. It's no longer an option. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking that, you know, like the famous story that I tell in my book is this moment where I was young and very idealistic and I made some really poor financial choices and I found myself sleeping in my car in a Kmart parking lot. I didn't have any other options. I had no more credit on my credit cards. I had student loans up the wazoo. I had quit my job. I didn't have another paycheck coming. I couldn't even get a payday loan from the payday people because they were like, you're not employed. You're not going to be able to give us any money back. I was trying very hard in earnest to start my freelance career, but it was really just I hadn't had to make it a priority at that point. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, well, guess what? There's no time for fancy websites. There's no time for headshots. There's no time for me to have this beautiful copy deck that I'm going to have professionally designed. So I look like a total pro and no one could ever accuse me of being an amateur. There's no time for any of this stuff. I just have to execute and I just have to literally make the world an offer today. And that's what I started with, a simple offer. Hey, here's what I can do. Here's how much it costs. Would you like my help with this? And from that simple offer, I was able to make $2,000 in an evening. And then from there, every single month kept growing. And I had my first, it was $103,000 from the months of March to December of that year without having all the bells and whistles in place and simply by practicing making people an offer every single day.
Uh-huh. Hope you guys were taking notes. If not, then go back and take notes on that. So good.
I love a good offer. And that's where we always get stuck. It's really hard for us to do that for so many reasons, but it is actually the most fundamental part of any business. A simple offer in exchange of value. Here's what I'd like to help you with. And here's how much it costs. And just asking.
In one of your blog posts, you talk about how people don't know how badass they are, something like that.
Yeah,
that sound right.
Oof.
So that sounds like I think sometimes people get stuck with what to offer because they don't know what their badassery is.
You know, I think you're right. I think some people don't realize their own superpowers. Let's call it. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that has to do with the famous imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. But I also think a lot of it is that we get wrapped up with this notion that we have to not only be great at our craft, but we also have to be great at business in order to be taken seriously. And I think that's really where people get the more twisted thing going on in their heads. It's like, well, I don't know. I've never written a proposal before. I don't have that beautiful pitch deck. I don't have this giant, extensive portfolio. And that seems to be, for me, where a lot of people get tripped up. And I see it coming out every single day with people's bios. That, for me, is the biggest marker of whether or not you have enough confidence to be doing what you want to be doing. And it's like the bio is the dead giveaway.
Suck at the bio. I hate doing bios.
Let's talk about bio.
You just found my Achilles heel.
It's so hard. Why is it hard? Go ahead. Why is it hard for you?
It's hard for me because I guess it's hard for me to brag on myself, maybe. And I, even though I come across real confident, I'm not actually super duper confident a lot of times.
Bum, bum, bum. Yeah, the brag thing is really a hard thing, isn't it?
I mean, you kind of have to just straight up brag when you're writing a bio.
Yeah.
And it just feels really unnatural to write a bio in the third, in the third person of like, well, Rachel was this and that. And by the way, my bio is always fucking changing. You never know what the fuck I'm up to. So like, you know.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah. Like,
well, that,
Rachel is a squirrel chaser and a fitness fanatic. The end.
Do you do the exercise from Mama Gina's pussy book?
Who, me? The brag thing?
Yeah.
Not lately.
Yeah.
I mean, are you talking about the shower head thing or the...
No, not the...
that exercise? Yes. No, all the
I'm
time.
Talking about the three, I forget what it's called, but you do three desires, three gratitudes, and three brags.
I really should do that. Too caught up with the shower head, I guess.
I've never seen it or read it, but now I'm on it. Totally on it.
Oh, it's such a good book. 100%. You just said you don't have a lot to do. You better get on top of that.
You gotta read Pussy.
I'm all over it, especially if she talks about this topic, because I see so many brilliant people holding themselves back just because they don't know how to present themselves on paper. It's as simple as that. And then they're like, well, if I can't write it down, then I must not be capable. It's this weird cycle that happens.
Yeah.
But I always think about bragging in that way too. Instead of bragging, I think about it as just, okay, well, what's my credibility marker? For me, it is all about demonstrating competence rather than arrogance. And if you were just going to make someone a simple offer, like we were just talking about, hey, here's what I can do for you and here's how much it costs. All that requires is just a certain like baseline level of competence to be able to do that thing. But yeah, you have to be able to tell somebody, you know, with a certain amount of faith in yourself, like, hey, I can do this thing for you.
Hey, Warner, just a quick reminder. If you love this episode, share the love. Share it with someone. Share this episode or the show with a friend. Pass the link on. Promote it on social media, on the interwebs. Share the show. Share the love. And now back to the show.
Well, you know, I think what else happens, and this has happened to me throughout the years, I think we get to a certain point where we truly become subject matter experts. One day you wake up and you're like, fuck, I know a lot of shit. And you don't realize the stuff that you know that you think is like, what's the big deal about what I know? Other people are like, you have no idea. I don't know that. And I'm like, really? It's like, it's just called breathing. Like it could be something that's just so, to me, so natural, that comes natural to somebody else is rocket science.
Yeah. The curse of the
Gina, you
knowledge.
May not remember, but in one of your seminars, one of your weekend seminars, and I always use this analogy, is a bicep curl. Like I was in the working in fitness at the time when I was working with Gina. And I have found that dance and fitness are like my real truth. Those are the things that I can talk all day long about with 100% confidence and my 10,000 hours. But like, there's 100 ways to fuck up a bicep curl. It seems so basic, but I can look, I look around the gym and I just want to like help people do the bicep curl correctly because, you know, you can fuck up simple things. And I just so happen to have the expertise to be able to explain how you can improve upon a simple skill. You know, and that's the thing that people think. And that's what Gina, what I learned in that seminar is like, I was like, oh, that's true. I do know how to do a bicep curl to perfection. And some people don't have a clue that they're even doing it wrong and they want to do it right.
Let me tell you, the salesperson in my brain right now is going, okay, so this, I could totally see this being a whole brand. And the whole concept of the brand is, guess what, bitches? You're not losing weight, not because you're not exercising enough and not because you're not exercising hard enough, but it actually just comes down to 20 simple foundational tweaks that will change your body forever in 8 weeks or less. And this is my thing. Like, I can totally see it already.
Actually, to be honest, I have this piece of paper on my fridge that my daughter wrote. It says, how to train your brain. And my daughter came up with that I think last year when I was talking about, you know, training people and mindset, and my thing has always been fitness, mindset, nutrition. And so a couple of days ago, I saw that piece of paper and I'm like, that's it. So I started writing that. I went and got the domain name, you know, and I started rewriting all of that stuff because that's the shit I know. That's the shit I can write another book on. Like it's the shit people want to know. So.
Oh, I love it. I encourage you highly to do it and create your own awesome little system, method, whatever it is, whatever you can stake claim on, and then you can turn around and imagine. This is what I always do with the bios. Like the litmus test for me is always, does a journalist give a shit about this? And I think that that's a wonderful filter to put something through, because journalists would not care if any one of us launched a cake making business tomorrow, or a personal training business, or a copywriting business. So you need that hook, and you need something that is newsworthy enough that someone will go, oh, that's really interesting. I have to write about that. I need to know more.
That's a really good point, because during the pandemic, what I started to do was make myself the subject matter expert and the spokesperson for small businesses, specifically theaters, because all the theaters got shut down and my theater got shut down for 5 months. And I just kept calling the media. I'm like, you know what story you should do now? You should do the story about how, you know, long we've been closed. And now you should do the story about what's going to happen if we don't reopen. And now you should do the story about how we actually lost our space. And now you should do the story about theaters reopening. Like I literally, so I got to a point where I didn't have to call them anymore. They were calling me.
Yes. Oh, that is cool. That's one of the best ways to get publicity.
I think Gina's been on the news more than anybody aside from, you know, the obvious political players lately. Like it's the Gina Tremarco. You should have your own show. I mean, there's some of them bozos out there that have shows. You should have one. For God's sake.
I mean, I think I've been on, I mean, I've lost track of how many times I've been on the news.
I know. That's why I said it. Cause every time we were like meet up for a podcast, she's like, oh God. I'm like, oh, you look good. She's like, oh, I have to meet the news later.
Famous last words.
Yeah.
Gotta do another TV interview. And this last interview I did, I convinced the sweet news girl. I'm like, you should really broadcast live from within the theater on our first night in our new space.
Good for so you.
That's such a great idea. Let me ask my producer.
Well, you know, there's actually somebody, and I can't remember exactly who I learned it from, but the media, this person, whoever it was, bless their hearts. Maybe it was you, Gina. Yeah, a lot of my good shit comes from Gina, but it was like the media, they want you to come to them and say, hey, I have an interesting story.
Yes.
They yep. want you to show up and yes. be like, hey, this is what's up. And so maybe you did teach me that. And you just show up and or call them up. And then it's surprising how easily you can get them to chomp down on something if you can, even if it's not interesting and you just spin it interestingly. Like
you have to give them the hook.
Yeah. That's
the hook.
It's sort of like what Ash talks about, like what differentiates you. So you have to give the media the hook. You can't just be like, oh, it's so sad they closed my theater. No. Okay. Let me tell you about the impact this is going to have on the economy. Let's
yes.
talk about it. You have to have the hook and know what's going to create a little bit of controversy. And I know the media so well, like literally they're like, you know what they're doing too. Cause they're like, so how sad were you? It's like, and I literally go,
or how
do you want me to cry? I was like, do you want me to cry on camera? I'm like, I can do that. Like, I know what they're trying to do. It's like, how angry are you at the governor? I'm fucking angry.
Mm, that's
right. Like, it's just knowing what's going to
oh yeah
interest them and give them something interesting to play. One of my interviews, as we were like closing our theater, I said to the reporter, I go, you should get some. Now, I have a television production background, so that's a little bit helpful. So I say to the reporter, I'm like, so why don't you get some B-roll? For what people don't know, a B-roll is it's extra video footage that they use as cutaways and when they put something together. I'm like, why don't you get some footage of the lights going down on our sign as they completely shut down and we close?
Oh my God, you're such a so cheater. Good. That's so amazing.
He's like, that's amazing. I would have never thought of that. I'm like, and that's how you end your story.
That'll be $1,000.
And the lights went out.
And that's oh, wow. how you get offered a job.
Did they use that?
Yes.
Sweet. Oh my God.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that book, if you haven't read Trust Me, I'm Lying, I just finished that book as well by Ryan Holiday. It's so fascinating. And to your point, Gina, that they're looking for shit that makes people angry or sad. They are not looking for happy shit. They want it like... controversy, and because that's yes. what keeps people's attention. Like, oh my God, did you see Gina on the news again? She was talking about her theater that closed again.
Yeah, that
and, you know, and it annoys some people, but do I give a shit? No, because did I get a lot of publicity? Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. That book by Ryan Holiday is amazing, and I'm proud to say he's also a portfolio author. So when I signed for my book, I got this giant box of books that Portfolio has done, which is really awesome. Nice. And all of them, like all of the Ryan Holiday books were in there. And I just like didn't even pay attention because I have his books on Kindle. So I wasn't even really opening them. And then like 6 months later, I just decided to open Trust Me, I'm Lying one day. And inside was a personal note from him to me being like, you know, fuck the haters, the Middle Finger Project. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Ryan Holiday. Whoa. So ever since, I just stalk him incessantly on social media.
He's amazing. And like, I'm telling you what, you guys, the book will make your jaw drop about what really goes on in the media.
Yeah.
Well, I literally just bought it. I just bought it on Audible.
Oh, it's great. It's so good.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
He's the king of sales, really, is what it is. Everything comes back to sales. I stand by that. I don't care what it is, if it's PR, if it's actual marketing sale. I mean, it's sales. It's all selling. Relationships, networking, it's all sales. Yep. And I love it.
Everything is sales.
So Ash, speaking of selling some crazy shit, so you've got, let's say one of our Warners is out there and she's got a crazy idea. It's just really seems like everybody's going to think she is like just bananas nuts crazy. What should she do?
Well, you know, honestly, I think the best thing anyone could do while starting is to start with a piece of paper and start by figuring out how you're going to pitch the damn thing, because that really is this little slip of gold that you need to not just put on your website, but if you're talking to anyone about your idea, if you're trying to get anyone on board with your idea, you need to be able to articulate what it is that you do, and not just what you do, but why anyone should give a damn, which is why I love the journalist lens for it. I would think, I would sit down, I don't care how crazy the idea is, I would sit down and figure out what your one-liner is. And this is the hardest thing that people go through. Oh, it's so hard. But it gives you a clarity that you need yourself to even make any other business decision. I think getting that one liner down of like what this thing is so helpful for you. If you're like, well, who am I selling to later? And what should the design be? And all these things, because now those decisions can be made according to this filter. A mistake I see people making all the time when it comes to just trying to articulate what it is that they're doing is summarizing too much instead of sizzling and selling. For example, with the bio thing, how many times have you read a bio that sounds something like, you know, Gina Tremarco is a business efficiency consultant, personal productivity expert, and founder of, you know, X company, an ethically sourced stationery brand centered around
intentional. Stop reading my bio. Stop it. Jesus.
You know, and that's where we all start. We all try to figure out, okay, well, what am I saying? What am I doing? What is this thing? You know, and we all start to summarize that way. And we start putting our credentials down on paper. Here's all the things I am and all the things I've been.
Yeah.
Instead of actually focusing on what the fuck the product does and why anyone cares about it. So, you know, if you're Gina, you could easily, if you have this like personal productivity planning company, I would say, hey, I'm Gina. I'm the founder of X company. I help women get more me time, bitches. Like, simple. Boom. You don't need to say bitches.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, I do.
And it's so true. It's hard. I started at the beginning of this pandemic, I was determined to not slide off the slippery slope into the pit of despair, which I did anyway last week, but I lasted a while. And so I started a few courses, you know, just to keep my mind occupied. And one of them was this marketing course with somebody that I've followed for a long, long time. I finally pulled the trigger on it. And I mean, I just was trying to learn about Instagram, to be frank, but now it's like become this huge thing, which has led me back to my passion for fitness and dance and everything, that everything keeps drilling down to that one statement of like, I help X to achieve X, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. And God, it's hard. 'Cause then you're like, well, maybe I should help these people. And maybe I should help these people. But then what we don't realize is that you're not really actually ostracizing, I don't know if that's the right word, you're not really keeping people out who don't fit that super, super laser focused niche. You're just specifically targeting those people. And then the other folks will come along and be like, what does that mean? I know I'm a guy, but I'd like to learn how to get some me time, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think my advice for that, too, is to figure out if that's where you're at. You're like, oh, I don't really know if I should target so niche for this. I like to encourage people just to consider, what is your 10% edge? Like, with whatever you do, what is your personal 10% edge? Why am I going to pick you instead of Joe Blow, who can also help me lose weight and get in shape? What is that one edge that you've got? And then spin that into, this is like the benefit of working with me. Mm-hmm. You know, recently I was working with someone who does, business coaching, right? Just regular business coaching. And she was struggling because she's kind of like, I can help anyone with their business, as one does. Because sometimes that is true. You know, you can give it a good college try for anyone that approaches you. But I encouraged her to talk to me more about what is the actual 10% edge that she's so passionate about in her work. And it turns out the thing she really loves doing is helping people pick the right business idea. That's for her what she loves doing. The rest she doesn't really give a shit about, but that piece. And so we ended up working on her business model, and it was like, okay, great. So now she's the creator of this company that is this idea incubator program that helps women pick the right business idea every time. And it's simple because now her benefit is embedded in that one line of what she's doing. So now from that, she can make every other decision she needs to make for her business because everything's going to feel cohesive to that greater mission. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome. I love that. Yeah. And I think, you know, as we grow as humans, like when we're like when you're a kid, everything's amazing and you're like, wow, look, dirt, yay, trees, sticks, you know, cotton candy. And then as you become a teenager, then you're like, oh, God, I need to be like everybody else. Oh, so they'll accept me. And then as we grow older, we start like trying to be what we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then I think at this point where I'm at, my 40s, I'm starting to be like, okay, I'm badass at this, so let's pull it in, stop chasing all the squirrels over there, or the squirrels that everybody tells me I'm supposed to chase. And then, you know, when you find that real thing, that's when you really can achieve and your legacy is created.
Let's back up for a second, Rachel. You said chasing what other people say you should be chasing.
Yeah.
Like, let's unpack that for a second.
For me or for everybody?
I mean, for everybody, because yeah. I think that goes hand in hand with the imposter syndrome too. Like,
yeah.
I think we get so caught up in like, I know I've done it. I mean, I know I've been your business coach, but I had a business coach who literally fucking played with my fucking head and put me in a corner and she's, you know, telling me like, I remember this distinctly. She's like, I had started off on this path of like, I said, you know, I really want to take improv and use it as a sales. I want to do, you know, improv for sales and be that sales trainer and coach. And she's like, you're not a sales trainer.
I'm like, ouch.
We hate her.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, you're not a real sales trainer. There are people out there that are real sales trainers and you're, you know, who've worked in Fortune 500 companies and blah, 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 blah. She's like, sometimes you come off as a bitch and sometimes you come off as funny. And, I said, well, you know, I own an improv comedy club, so I am funny. So there's that piece of it. She's like, yeah, but, you hide behind, you know, insecure people hide behind being funny.
What this person needs to just like be off the internet.
She is like a huge well-known name and we hate her.
We're vetoing her off the internet. Yeah. This just sounds actually abusive.
It was so fucking abusive.
Meanwhile, you're paying like big boku bucks for this shit.
Huge bucks for it. And then it's so funny because I've moved a couple times and I was going through my storage unit and I was finding all of these banners from trade shows that I had done. With that brand message on sales, you know, improv for sales. And I'm like, I had it right the first time.
See, that's your 10% edge. You're not trying to compete with all of the other sales trainers in the world.
No. That's the point. You know what's been, What's been really effective, and I think, you know, going back to rock bottom mentality as well, one of my strategies before the pandemic hit was to partner with other sales training organizations that don't do what I do.
Yes. Wonderful idea.
Bring me in to be that new shiny nickel to put in front of your clients and parade me around, because you need a new edge. I can add to it. I'm not going to do what you do. This isn't competitive. I'm just an added value for you.
I love that.
And, you know, people really weren't buying into that initially, although Jeb Blunt did buy into it.
You know what is the craziest thing, Gina, is that in like countering what that individual said to you, the sales, how can I say this best? The yes and technique that you taught me is the most, it's the best lesson I have ever learned to utilize in sales. It is the hands down best thing I've ever learned in sales, in negotiating with my husband, in negotiating with my kid. Like, it is the best thing. And like, thank God that it wasn't smothered in you.
No shit. And it's not like I own yes and, because yes and is, you know, it's a universal improv philosophy. I just found that was my 10% edge. I found how to use yes and in a sales training perspective.
I love yes and I'm already imagining myself saying yes, and that will be $5,000.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
And you know, another thing, like in terms of my experience with what I should be doing. So I started dance at age 5, and I basically remember coming home and telling my mom, "Mommy, I'm going to be a dancer," after my first lesson. That was that. And that is exactly what I did for like 27 years. One track mind, music, dance, 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 dance. Gave up everything just to focus on that. And then one day I got pregnant and I was like, oh, I better get a real job. Like, so I went to get my real estate license, and I did real estate for 10 years. And then I transitioned recently over to mortgage, and I've been working in the whole industry for years and years and years. And in the middle of all of that is when I found Gina, and she was my coach, because I was like, I fucking hate this. I hate this. Help me. I want to make change the world with fitness. And so then a few years I did that. And then like the life happened. And basically I was telling this story to my husband the other day. I said, I was actually doing really well. Gina, you remember I was doing pretty well, but I got divorced, and I was basically like carrying the whole family. And so I had to like find ways to make money. And so I slid back into real estate, cause I can make a lot of money there. But that is the path, that right there, that whole chunk of like 10 plus years of my life of doing what I should be doing, because I can make a lot of money at it, and I'm successful at it because I'm successful at everything I put my mind to. But it's not where my heart is, and it's not where my joy is, and it's not where my impact is, because my heart's not there. I can make money at it, and that's a big deal. Like, if you're questioning what you're doing and you're questioning what your direction you should go in, like, what did you love doing when you were 5 or 10? It's not going to change. It's the same thing.
You know, I think that couldn't be more true. And I have to say, circling back to that evil sales trainer, yeah, I almost feel like people like that really are unhappy with the work that they're doing. And I really think that a lot of their own insecurities comes out with that. And that it turns people into bitter old hags. Like, who wants to work with a bitter old hag? Nobody. But I feel like either it's an insecurity thing, or because they themselves don't feel like they're doing what they actually should be doing. And it somehow comes out in these weird microaggressions, or just like flat out blatant aggressions, apparently.
Or she thought it was a really fucking good idea, and she was like, oh, better squash that before she takes over.
Or that, or I will say that for a lot of everyone listening here who has tried their hand in business, there is this tendency to feel very insecure about your value in comparison to what you're charging. And I find this with everybody from, you know, this the small business owner trying to create something as simple as an online course. So they start stuffing everything into the online course to try to justify the value. And somebody like a high-end sales trainer who actually ends up making really shitty comments because they don't feel like they're providing any actual value. So they start being very opinionated in ways that isn't appropriate because they feel like it's the only way they're actually providing some value to you. And it's just not effective for anybody in the relationship. Totally. We got issues. That's what I'm saying. Everybody's got issues. I think that's the bottom line.
Oh, yeah. And definitely, you know, be sure that you are standing in your value. I had an experience this week. It was very interesting. So I was reading this book about mental management, and I reached out to their company because I'm like, I want to check this out. They're pretty awesome. And they'll never call me back. Well, they called me, and the woman who is the trainer, who is the perfect thing for my field and what I'm trying to do in this other side hustle, she pitched me, and she immediately said she was the lowest, you know, she was the least expensive trainer in their whole group, and no. And I was expecting the number to be really like a lot higher. And when she dropped the number, I was like, fucking okay. I mean, but she like discounted herself already. And I don't think she needed to do that because what the company offers is like mazeballs. And she discounted herself. Don't do that.
Can I ask, did this cause you to question her competence?
I am not questioning her competence because I have actually ulterior motives of doing this training because I am interested in that type of training from the person who created all this. So she's related to him. So I'm going to get to him anyways. Like, he's hard to get to, but I'm going to get to him anyways through her. So it's fine. I was like, good. I'm glad you're the cheapest. Let's go.
You sly devil.
Because I know that I know what I bring to the table is going to be of interest to them because they have not trained this kind of athlete before. And basically, in a nutshell, they train athletes, and I want this type of training for what I'm trying to do. I'm training for a bikini competition for next year because, like, fucking, it's the zenith of what you can do in fitness. It's so hard to get that lean and that fit. And they have not worked with this type of athlete. They work with different types of athletes that are in similar, like, judge situations. But she's like, oh, this will be interesting. I'm like, uh-huh. It'll be interesting for me too, to like learn all your techniques and then you'll love me. So there's like ulterior motives. But what I'm trying to say here is don't sell yourself short because you don't know. I was sitting there on the other end of the phone ready to pay two or three times that much for what I wanted out of them. And you don't know what that person is thinking. Most of the time we approach it like, oh my God, I know this is so expensive, but this is how much it is. You know? You know what I mean? I've done it. And instead, she, like I said, she could have totally dropped a number three times as high and I was ready to pay it.
Oh my God, that's such a good lesson for everyone listening right now. Oh man, it pains me for her.
Well, you know, I went through that. We've talked about this before with the pricing of my spontaneous selling course.
Yep.
Which is the 6-week course. And then I did a free workshop, which was really kind of like my lead gen. And I'd sent those both programs to Jeb Blunt so that he could, if he wanted to check it out, to get a feel for what I do. And he literally schooled me. And he's like, your free one needs to be $99 and your $99 needs to be $4.99. I was like, okay.
Did you try it?
I mean, I just the next, I've got the next one scheduled and I moved it to $4.99. We'll see what happens.
Oh, I love that. I feel like anything over $99, you have to make a yes or no decision anyway. So it's kind of like anything over that, it falls in the same bucket for me between like 99 and 500. It's like, if it's going to be 200 or it's going to be 400, it's kind of like, meh.
Yeah. Yeah, we had that. I had that conversation with my marketing team. I'm like, well, maybe I should do $2.99. She's like, no, just do $4.99. Then we have room if we want to. If we want to do a special promotion with it, we can. Let's just leave it at $4.99.
Plus, yeah. Jeb would come back and be like, what did I say? I said $99 mm-hmm. and $4.99. You didn't mm-hmm. take the coaching.
mm-hmm. You're fired.
Yeah. Well, it can be really helpful, I think, to offer something at the real value price point, like the heavy hitter price point. This is what it costs because I am good at what I do. And then afterwards, if you want to negotiate that, you know, send out a downsell, send out something yeah. that's just that small piece of it and say, okay, listen, still want to do business. I can't offer you the whole enchilada, but here's what I can do. If this is helpful for you, it's only $99.
Oh yeah. Well, mm-hmm. there's a psychological piece to that. Like that course that I mentioned where I was trying to learn about Instagram, like they advertise it. This is a $2,500 course or what have you. But because of COVID, we're offering it for $4.99 or whatever it was that they offered it for. And then you're like, sweet, I'm getting the deal of the century. I got to do it now before it goes back up to $2,500 or whatever. You know, there's that psychological piece that works hard on, well, squirrel chasers like me, I guess.
On everybody. Even the other day, I signed up for some app and right at the top of it was like, okay, if you commit before August, I think it was today, 19th, you know, you get this whopping 50% off. And even though I wasn't even sure if I wanted the damn thing, I was like, but I don't want to pay more later.
yes, better get it now. Oh, yeah.
So psychological.
Yeah, but it's good. It helps people make decisions. And if they don't want it afterwards, they can always ask for a refund. I think that's a good business strategy.
Well, you know, that reminds me of something that just happened. So I've got this book, I call it the Book of Play, and it's an ebook of improv exercises for people in business. And really I put it together as sort of a post-training guide, like, okay, all those exercises that we just did in this free workshop online, if you want to go like duplicate it yourself because you don't want to hire my company to come in, but teach yourself how to do it. I showed you how to do it, but here's the step-by-step how to do those exercises. And there might be 10 exercises in there. I can't remember. But I didn't do it as this big thing to promote as this big way in. It was just kind of like, I gave you some free stuff up front. Now you can buy this thing for $10 because you're not going to spend the $3,000 I want you to spend to bring me in. And you're probably not my ideal client, but here's a little $10 thing for you. So what's been happening is like different improv people who are trying to find a way to use improv and to build their business practice have been buying it from all over the world. Like, it's weird.
Sounds like you better raise your price, Gina.
Well, this is crazy. This is crazy. So, this guy buys it from Australia. And I say, hey, you know, I saw that you bought this and thank you. And how'd you find out about it? And he replies back and like just goes off on me on how much of a ripoff it was that it should have been, you know, it was only 10 pages and it should have been 25 pages. And he thinks I'm just trying to make money off of people.
Yes.
And there should have been so much more to it. And I was like, listen, fucker, which I didn't say it. Cause he's like, you know, this horrible customer service experience. And this is how people end up like their business gets hurt because you just gave a bad customer service experience. And in the nicest way, I'm like, you're not my ideal client. Like I said, this is a supplement for people who take our free workshops. I go, I don't even promote it. It's not marketed out. It's not like you can easily find it on our website. It's a link that I share with people who've taken a free workshop. It's not like
it's 10 bucks. He spent more on beer earlier that day, I'm sure. Like,
exactly. And then of course it's like 10 US dollars. And I was like, you know what? Here's your money back.
Ooh, yeah.
Take your money back.
It gives me PTSD thinking about some of the things that people say. I had an issue the other day with someone similarly. And it's sometimes you just wonder, is it you? Is it them? I had an issue where we...
It's them.
It must be them. We were doing some bonuses for some things that I had offered. And one of the bonuses was going to be this session where we would do kind of a couple of hours on Zoom as a full group where you could practice your elevator pitch and your bio and kind of actually just get used to your talking points for the media. And as I had worked with this group of people, I quickly realized none of them had media talking points because none of them had any idea what they were doing. Nobody even knew what they were selling. It was so much more basic than it should have been. So instead I changed it and I said, listen, instead, here's what we're going to do. I want you to respond to me and I'm going to give you my personal time. You just tell me what's one thing you need help with this month and I will help you personally figure that out. And so someone wrote in and was very upset by this because she thought that the value of spending a couple of hours in a Zoom room with a bunch of people, like 40 people at once, without personal attention was more valuable because of the size of it versus what she positioned as an email. But it's not at all the medium. It's about what you get out of the thing. And for me, I thought this was much more useful for everyone than sitting together in a room while each person individually practiced their elevator pitch. So it's hard because it's that, you know, what is value question? What is value to people? And it's different depending on who you're talking to.
Well, again, it goes back to, I think, ideal clients too. Like, if they don't see the value, there's two things. You're either not proving the value or they're never going to see the value.
Mm. Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Or a lot of people just really stink at putting it on paper.
Back to the beginning.
Yeah.
There it is.
Number three. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's hard. Business is hard. But once you get that nailed and you know what you're doing, I think it's so much easier because the right people do come flocking to you and the wrong people kind of stay away. I don't get very many trolls with the middle finger project. And I think that's why.
Well named, aptly named. Well, speaking of which, tell our listeners where they can get a hold of that book and where they can reach you and any of the other websites that you mentioned earlier that are your little side hustles that we might want to know about.
Woo! Well, the middlefingerproject.com.org, all the extensions is always there. But the book is exciting. I can't wait to actually see it in a bookstore again. I only got to see it one day.
Literally one day.
One day in New York City, and that was it. I know. I feel so disappointed, but it is in all of the major bookstores and retail distribution centers worldwide. It's on Audible. We've had some really fun reviews from the Audible because people are like, this girl's crazy and I love her.
You know what? I'm going to go get it on Audible. I've read it, but I'd love to hear it on Audible too.
Oh, thanks, man.
Oh, good. It's on Audible.
Totally going to get it.
I can only do Audible. I just can't read.
Yeah. Oh, I had a blast recording in the studio.
Yay. I bet it's even better. Like hearing your voice tell your stories is just like great. Love it. Well,
you know, I guess I won the second grade oral reading contest for a reason because I had a joy doing that thing. I thought it was going to be really difficult to read a book for several hours a day. And in the end, I was like, can I switch careers? I'm ready for it. So yes, it's available on Audible, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Powell's, Watterson's, all of the cool things. Man, I would love if anyone would check it out. I think that's the best introduction to anyone who's like, you know, I really am feeling like I'm missing the confidence to do this thing that I really want to try. It's a good starter place.
It's a really good book, you guys. Go get it now, quickly. It's so good.
Quickly. It's been so awesome having you back.
Thank you so much, you guys. I really could talk to you all day long. It's very dangerous what you do.
What do we do that's so dangerous, Ash?
It's just enjoyable. I have a blast talking to you guys. And poor Doug, he's there and he just has to listen the whole time and he never gets to interject. Sorry, Doug. We love you, Doug.
Well, he can interject, but it's impossible to interject.
He's afraid. I thought it would be really awful not to see everybody, but maybe we should do some just without us. And then we could just be like, do it naked. It could almost be like a selling point.
I was just going to say it's like I love naked, to be naked and afraid.
Naked and afraid podcast. Women naked your mother warned you about.
The special edition. I love that idea. Mm. Well, hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. I think it worked out well.
Yeah, you sound great.
Yeah, you sound great. You sound great.
Excellent.
Well, hey, we hate to leave you, but we got to go.
Yeah, rock on, ladies.
Go and, on back to your quarantine in Costa Rica. We'll pray for you.
Thank you. I did find a baby gecko in the bathroom this morning, and I tripped over myself and knocked my teeth out on the porcelain sink.
Oh, no.
That's my life now. Baby geckos and trying to avoid the humidity. I'll be over here. You guys let me know what you need. Let me know if you're ever coming down. You know where to find me.
All right. Well, that sounds like an invitation. Let's do it.
Mud wrestling live from the beaches of Costa Rica.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, Ash, once again, it's been great. We'd love to have you back. And thanks. And thanks to our warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. To learn more about this show and everything related to this show from myself and Rachel and Keith Walters, wherever he may be.
Probably in Costa Rica.
He probably is. He probably is. Visit womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. You can also find out more about me at ginatremarco.com. And Rachel, take it over.
You can find me at thesinginglender.com or my new little budding business that I've mentioned about 50 times on this podcast at ultrafitlifestyle.com.
Plug, plug, plug. Everybody plug what they got. And hey, you know what? Give the gift of this show that Ash has declared is the best named podcast out there. Give the gift of it by telling other people. If you really liked it, recommend the show, recommend that they listen to it. We would appreciate that. Of course, we always love a rating and review, so do that too. And be safe, be healthy, be sexy, and we're out. Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof, monkey, monkey.